You've heard us talk about David Femininio, injury attorney deluxe. Well, just listen to some of the results David has delivered for his clients. $3.5 million, $5 million, how about $11.5 million? Almost enough to cover Ohio State's NIL. You need an attorney that'll fight relentlessly for you. Call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. Go to that website anytime at getdavidgetpaid.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
All right, hour number two, good to have you with us. Cookies will join us at 5, or we'll join him. I don't know. It's his pregame, not my problem. Look, so I asked the question to start the day today. I've listened to the station all day, was confused. You guys can set me straight on this. It's very simple. I do not understand, oh, Tigers this, Tigers that. Man, we have Monday Night Football in town. We've done Euphoria Radio with the Tigers for what feels like 2 weeks, or most certainly was all of last week, where you were a mortal certainty to make it. And tomorrow's tomorrow. Tonight, the Lions have a must-win game. And you can mock that. You can laugh. But if you lose tonight, here's your scenario, and tell me it isn't must-win. If you lose tonight, you're 2-2. You will have dropped two home games to two NFC playoff teams. You will be two games behind Minnesota, three behind Seattle, and you are staring down 2 weeks of panic in the bye, and then three road trips in 4 weeks to three presumed NFC playoff teams. Tell me again it's not a must-win tonight. Yes, I'm excited about the Tigers, but that, man, that's tomorrow. That ain't got nothing to do with tonight. No Ragnow, no Branch, an offense that's looked very uneven. And yes, do I believe on paper you should beat Seattle? Of course I do. Well, the Jets should have beat the Broncos. All right? Preach. The Eagles should have beat the Bucks. Well, they got beat all right. They got the brakes beaten off. So the point I'm making is, look, my focus is on this. I have no nerves with the Tigers. Man, the Tigers are the taxes you pay when you win the lottery. You won the lottery. It doesn't matter what the Tigers do. I will never be disappointed, sad, angry, none of it. Tonight, no, this is the stress, and this is the focus for me. But it's been interesting because all day it feels like everything reverts back to the Tigers, and I wonder if we have an entitlement problem with Lions fans.
I think that's exactly what it is, Mike, that it is entitlement, that it is, well, Super Bowl or bust, you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. What do you mean? These games are nothing. Even if we don't win this one, we got the best offensive coordinator. We got the best offense, the best line. Look at the weapons that we have. Problem is, your weapons are all misfiring. You're struggling in the second half of games. You're not scoring points. You're going to find out that you're the hunted, and life is a lot harder in the NFL when you're everybody's circle game. It used to be, well, it's the Lions. That's our get-right game. Now it's, that's the Lions. We have to bring our best effort. You're going up against Seattle. If you lose this, it gives Seattle a tiebreaker over you. You don't want to have to go and play outside in the elements. Historically speaking, Jared Goff's not a good outside quarterback in elements. Plain and simple. You can chant his name all that you want. It's not going to happen. These games are important, and yes, there should be some concern, but I do think that there is a sense of entitlement with a lot of people that, you know what, we made it to almost made it to the promised land. Don't worry, we'll be back.
And that rarely happens. It's also not a predictive measure when I say, look, it's a must-win, and I'm nervous. Do I think they win tonight? Yes. But that doesn't mean I'm not nervous about it. Yeah. And Geno Smith and this damn Seattle Seahawks team, it's voodoo. They own you. Now, I can't figure out how or why or what. Geno Smith was homeless 3 years ago. It's a hell of a comeback.
Yeah,
he was Billy Ray Valentine.
And yeah, Terrion Arnold. Hey, you got DK tonight.
Well,
good luck.
And again, in the NFL, and you see it when you watch games, it's a handful of plays a game. And if you have a bad PI for 38, man, that's a game changer. So I was interested to see from you guys. I mean, what are you more invested in, and what are you more nervous about? I have no nerves with the Tigers. They have already accomplished so much that I couldn't possibly be stressed about it.
Yeah.
But tonight, oh, make no mistake, there's stress. This league is upside down, and if you go out and lose a second home game before the calendar hits October, and by the way, you will have lost to the only two decent teams you played. And you needed overtime to beat the damn Rams.
Yeah,
there are plenty of people around the league who look around and tell you you should be 1-3 if you lose tonight. So you know what? Yeah, I'm nervous. It hasn't looked right. Dan Campbell's come on our airwaves and said as much that, hey, we may not be firing on all cylinders until after the bye week. And you go in tonight without an all-pro center. And you go in tonight without one of the true X factors on your defense in Brian Branch. Yeah, I think I got a right to tell you, man, no offense. If you guys want to touch your chandeliers about tomorrow at 2:30, that's your business. I'm staring at a serial killer under my bed. It's Geno Smith. He's going to do it again. I can't take it.
Mr. Marbles?
Mr. Marbles? Shout out any Seinfeld fans. 248-539-9797. David, where are you at on this before we get to the people?
Tonight is extra important. You cannot lose this game. And the fact that I think it makes it worse that Seattle has had the Lions' number the last few years. Because if they didn't, I wouldn't be going into the game thinking, oh, you know, I'm a little worried about it. That's why I'm worried. Because you don't need to lose the game, and you can't seem to beat Seattle. That combination of it is just bad for the Lions tonight. Because if you lose, you are now, what you say, Mike, three games behind Minnesota. You now lose.
No, three behind Seattle because of the tiebreaker.
Yes.
You will be a full two behind Minnesota.
Yes.
And in a position where a split doesn't get you really any closer.
No, it doesn't at all. You losing that tiebreaker to Seattle and not having the tiebreaker against Tampa Bay and being behind in the division, those three things, come on now. October.
You mentioned Tampa Bay. Here's a comparative. When teams have your number, fun fact, Tampa Bay has ended the Eagles season the last two seasons and just put them on the edge to start this year. Tampa Bay owns the Eagles.
Yep.
Beat them twice in the playoffs to finish them. Blew their doors off last year. And then Philly goes down there in a game they got to have. What'd they do? They destroyed them.
Wasn't even close.
So sometimes matchups, and it is what it is. I hope the Lions can break the hex. But Seattle's had your number.
Yeah.
Call it what it is.
Kind of like you with the Rams, where you just keep beating the Rams. Even though Stafford wants that game badly, he's not had it. And Seattle has come in here year after year. We'll see what happens. They're missing a lot of players. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk, but I do think that this is an early must-win game. You're looking at playing two or three games on the road at Dallas. And then, at Minnesota?
And at Green Bay.
Oh, and at Green Bay? Okay.
The in-between is a game against Tennessee. I'm just making a point. Like, that's how I take the NFL. You don't get a lot of chances. And you already gave away one game to Tampa Bay. So, yes, I'm just focused on tonight, and I'm invested in tonight. And whatever the Tigers do, they do.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch a baseball game tomorrow afternoon. And you get the best pitcher in baseball going for you. I don't think the Astros are going to be excited to see him. And let's see if this whole destiny routine continues. But there's no pressure there. You know what I don't want to do, Rico? I don't want to do a fall of panic radio with the Lions. I ain't trying to lose this game tonight.
No, I feel you, man, because this is what you don't want to see is history repeating itself. It's almost like Thanksgiving Day, where you can give you every reason why they're going to win this game, but for some reason,
Thanksgiving.
They can't win on Thanksgiving.
248-539-9797. We will get the people involved. Kenny, line two needs a name. Just FYI. I know you're still salty about Alabama. Let's focus. We'll get to the callers next, shall we?
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
All right, let's get to the people. Jim Costa pregame fiesta begins at 5. We're going to Ed, who's up next on the ticket. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing today?
What's going on, Ed?
Doing good. Now, I'll just give a quick word on the Tigers, and then I'll get to the Lions. I'm in agreement with you on Mike on this for the Tigers. Friday night was magnificent. It was a great moment. I'll lock it down in the memory bank till the day I die. But tonight, the focus is on the Tigers. Tomorrow, I'll be worried about tomorrow. Well, not so much their step because what we got scooped for game one. The confidence level should be high. It just comes down to timely hitting. I'll be worried about that tomorrow. As for tonight, I understand the moment of what you're talking about, Mike. I actually am in agreement with you that, yes, it is a must-win game because what you're saying before, going into the bye week at 2-2 sucks compared to entering it at 3-1, especially compared to what Minnesota did to Green Bay yesterday. But here's the thing, though. I can compromise with y'all on this and say that I'm not feeling as nervous as you for these specific reasons. Number one, I expect and know that the home crowd, they're going to be pumped, they're going to be jacked, they're going to make sure that they're going to make themselves as much of an X factor as possible. Number two, I have faith in the defense being able to continue what they're doing, even though, yes, KW9, he's going to be active tonight. I still have faith that they're going to find a way to neutralize the offense to an extent to where, what's the fact? So far, they've given up only 20 points or less to all three of their opponents. And that's including to, a Tampa team that, like, I agree with you, they look like a real strong playoff contender. And even still, y'all gave that game away. And here's the thing. I am foolishly, call me crazy, I'm feeling optimistic on the offense because it still comes down to situational play calling in the red zone and Goff just not forcing stuff. Because I will say this, I thought Ben Johnson called a much better game in Arizona than he did against Tampa, and I thought Goff, save for that one force that he tried to force against Amon-Ra that led to the pick, he did much better than that one. I would expect to see more of the same tonight only because I'm in an agreement with the theory of they're just working off rust from not playing their starters in the preseason. Shake it off. You're in front of the home crowd. Learn from your mistakes against Tampa. Get your red zone situation scoring figured out. Don't turn the ball over, and you'll be straight. Am I expecting blowout? No. Am I expecting a win? Yes.
Yeah, and I don't think you're crazy at all. Listen, offense is this team's calling card. They could explode at any given week. It's just, you're right. Rico had said it. You're misfiring. It looks disjointed. You are seeing it league-wide. I mean, let's be clear. Like, the equivalent for your offense has kind of been Baltimore's defense up until last night. I mean, Baltimore had allowed the most passing yards in football. Baltimore wasn't generating a huge pass rush. Baltimore had a ton of ridiculous penalties. And then last night, boom. I mean, Ray Lewis may as well come out of the damn tunnel.
Ed Reed.
That's right.
Man. I agree with that. And I'm not expecting – I'll say this. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions start to pull away late to where it looks similar to what Baltimore did, but I'm not expecting, like, wall-to-wall, wire-to-wire domination. Yeah. Last night, like you said, that was the Ravens' best game since they played against us and took us to pound town.
Yeah, it was complete. No, I'm with Ed on this. I think the one thing for me, look, Carlton Davis has been good. Terrion Arnold, I'm not down on the kid at all. He's a rookie. He's going to be tested. And remember, he's an Alabama corner, which means the way you are taught under Nick Saban, handsy, physical, it's just not allowed in the NFL. Don't even get me started on that. Because the last thing you need is more penalties. But look, you're going to be tested tonight in a whole different way. All right, when you really look at this, they are using JSN in a different way this season than they did last season. Why? Well, largely because Shane Waldron's an idiot. You don't throw the ball to JSN at or behind the line of scrimmage. You use his incredible route running and get him in the intermediate stuff. Mm-hmm. DK is DK.
Yeah.
And he's just a distinct problem.
Yeah. I look at Smith and Njigba kind of like their Amon-Ra, where you move him around. He's the guy that picks up, helps you get the first down. He goes into the gaps. He finds the different things.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
No, 100%. So, no, I try to just be more pragmatic about it. By the way, could you just tell your Braves to stop blowing this game? I hate the Mets. America hates the Mets.
This is what they've done all season.
Why are you doing this to America? That's the question.
If it was seven games, innings. If it were seven inning games, they would be the best team in America.
Rico, you're a real problem. Let's go to Ian, 97.1. Ian, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Just trying to resist the urge to vomit all day long today since I woke up because I'm so terrified about this Lions game tonight.
Jesus.
Well, it probably doesn't help that I've been mainlining coffee and I've only eaten a couple slices of toast today, but that's my problem, not you guys'. If you really look at it, we're facing a combination of last year's Seattle team and last year's Ravens team because they brought over Mike McDonald, who was the Ravens DC last year. And we both know how that game went. Not only that, you know, we're missing Brian Branch. We're missing Frank Ragnow. We could be missing any combination of guys like Aleem McNeil, Levi Onwuzurike, you know, depending on their injury status. Sam LaPorta is a question mark in my mind because how much is he really going to contribute? And then you look at, you know, Seattle's injury list is a mile long, but a lot of those guys are expected to play. And our offense has done nothing impressive in the first 3 weeks outside of that one drive in overtime against the Rams. And you want to talk about loaded offenses. Everybody's all like, oh, you know, the Lions offense. We got all these pieces, the Lions offense. Well, you know, if Jaxon Smith-Njigba, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett wasn't enough, they also have what should be a healthy Kenneth Walker and Noah Fant, who in my mind is one of the best young tight ends in football. So you want to talk about loaded offenses, that's what we're getting tonight against our banged-up defense.
Here's a saving grace to me. You have been very good against the run. It's been your calling card since Dan Campbell got here. I believe you're number four or five in football against the run. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The way this has to work, if you're going to control this thing, is you need to get Seattle in third and long, and then you need to take advantage of a banged-up offensive line. Look, Aiden Hutchinson right now has got to deal with the devil going. Basically, every week he faces some tomato can who's a backup tackle. That's happening again. So if you can do your job on first and second down. Now, if I'm Seattle, here's the difference. I'm passing when you think I'm running. I'm using the passing game to set up the run. I am not going to sit there and run into a brick wall. And that's counterintuitive because people go, you just said their offensive line's not very good. Right, which means if I am passing in known passing downs, I'm effed.
Right.
You need to take advantage of first and second down and use your weapons. If the Lions do their job and make Seattle one-dimensional in passing downs, I have no doubt in my mind you'll be able to win the damn game. But I'm just approaching it like Seattle's coaching staff may have a functioning brain. You can't come on the road to Detroit, think you're going to go run, pass, and walk out of here with a win.
No, I mean, especially with Detroit's secondary not at 100%. No, it makes sense. You just don't want to put yourself in third and long because if that's the case, that's when you just say, Aiden, go get him.
Yeah, and if I'm Seattle, what I'm doing on third down, a lot of it, I'm going to find DK or I'm going to find JSN. I'm going to, through motion and through formation, I will try to isolate a matchup, and I'm going 50-50 balls. Look, you saw it yesterday in the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
You see it all around the league. Your best offensive play is defensive holding. Your best offensive play is defensive pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the Saints. There's a 38-yard penalty. Look, these are game-changing penalties, and the league won't clamp down on it. So naturally, when you got a guy like DK Metcalf, of course I'm going to try to find Terry and Arnold. Why? Not only because he's a rookie, because he's handsy.
Yeah.
And he's physical. Yeah. And the league will not stop rewarding offense with these ridiculous penalties.
Almost when you want to just tap your helmet and change the play. When you see you're lined up in man coverage, forget that play.
Yeah.
Throw me the ball.
It gets me onto something that we won't talk about today. The state of NFL officiating and its impact on the product and how it looks and the watchability. We're lost. Officiating at the NFL level is a disgrace. It's a total embarrassment. And if I have to hear...
It ain't that great in college either.
Yeah, but I halfway expect it in college because, of course, Barney Fife is reffing UL Monroe and Tulane. I mean, there's just not enough officials. The NFL, I got 14, 15, 13 games a week. Man, it's got to be the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And these cats are throwing penalties that you damn well know they shouldn't be throwing. It breaks up the game flow, and to me, it takes away. Look, Aaron Glenn runs a very physical, very aggressive defense. You should be rewarded for that, not penalized.
No, you're right. I've often said the accountability factor should be that just like players, just like coaches, refs should have to get up in front of the podium and answer questions. Why did you call that penalty? Why did you do you realize you missed that call? What were you thinking? What did you see that we didn't
just
see?
Just get to it. You're still salty about Saturday night where Aiden Childs went exorcist mode, his head was on backwards, and they didn't throw the face mask penalty.
Well, he did have on a Spartan neck brace for the rest of the game.
He looked like Brian Cox.
Right. He needed a lawyer.
248-539-9797. We'll get with the people coming up next. Jim Costa joins us at 5 o'clock. We will switch over to essentially a Lions pregame show at 5. And we can mix some Tiger talk in. I'm not telling you not to call about it. I just think the priorities are a little bit – if you're looking past tonight's game, you're not watching the NFL. There are no freebies. All right, couple notes, because we always focus on our own stuff, right, our own injuries, our own – here's where Seattle's at. Rico, I want you to tell me if I'm overthinking this. Seattle is all kinds of banged up at the front seven level, right? So Leonard Williams, Byron Murphy, Mafi, or whatever the kid's name is from Minnesota, the good linebacker, Jerome Baker, Nwosu. Here's my question. Yes, the D-line is a little banged up, but the linebacker level, and the fact that you got so many new pieces playing at that level, is this the night Sam LaPorta gets it right?
I thought that was going to be Arizona.
I know.
You know what, Mike? Yes. On paper, yes. I still think that I listened to what Dan Campbell said on the morning show. I don't expect anything until after the bye week. I just think that there's something going on. I don't know if he tweaked something. He's not 100%. They're trying to get him to the bye week, get him that week's rest, and then break him out against Dallas. Yeah, on paper, this should be his night. But I thought that for the last couple of weeks, and I was wrong.
But you're not going to get Leonard Williams tonight. You're not going to get Byron Murphy. You're not going to get Boye Mafe, and you're not going to get Nwosu. They're all out. And again, I don't think you're going to see Jerome Baker tonight. So this has to be something where if you want to control this game, line up and do your business. But this is the problem. You know, they go through these spurts where they can't be stopped on the ground, and then you go through these spurts where they look like a monolith. Mm-hmm. And tonight you are without Frank Ragnow, who's your all-pro, all-everything center. I got to see it to believe it with Glasgow at center.
Yeah, I wonder how much is that going to disrupt that, because when that line, as we know from last year, I mean, you know, when they were all together, they were unstoppable. Now, not quite the same. I don't know if it's not the line's fault, because the running game is there. It's just the inconsistency in the play calling where, I mean, I would almost treat it like a video game where when something is working, just keep running. If your running game is working, keep running the ball. Don't stop doing that. Just to say, well, we can pass as well. Make the other team stop you. I don't know why they haven't been able to score. I don't know why they haven't been coming out of halftime just looking kind of lethargic. But, yeah, I mean, no Ragnow can be a concern, because he's just a staple and icon of that offensive line at center, calling out the stuff. Yeah, I worry about the interior of that line.
Let's go to Teddy, 97.1. What's up, Teddy?
Mike, Rico, how you guys doing?
What's going on, brother?
So I'm definitely nervous about the Lions, 100%. And kind of like a caller said, I'm taking it day by day. More nervous about the Lions today and Tigers tomorrow, and if the games are switched, vice versa. But I do want to address, I don't know that I like the quote you guys were saying with you're playing with house money for the Tigers. Maybe it's just how I think. But it's hard to get to any postseason in any professional sport, let alone baseball, where players today are basically made of jello. I mean, God forbid something happens to a guy, and we might not be back in this spot again. I hate to put that out in the world. But, you know, Mike, I hate to rub in the BGB, but playing with house money is like winning or taking Minnesota to cover the spread than turning around and betting on Penn State to cover the spread.
I know. And yeah, James Franklin, like, yeah, three trips inside the 20, and we don't get a point. Thanks, James. I know, man. Hey, Teddy, that was awful.
Oh, hey, 1-0.
Awful.
I look at you know what?
Teddy, you're right in this regard, is that getting here is definitely not a given. There's no guarantee they're back next year. You're right. I didn't mean it disrespectfully. I guess I just meant it's such a – it's been a movie. It's been like intergalactic voodoo. So I just have a hard time putting pressure on them. But you're right. If it's the top of the seventh and you're in a tie game, it's going to be hard for expectation not to take over. It's very fair.
Right. No, I know. I mean, like you guys said, it's a must win for the Lions, too. I'm not taking anything away from that. But at the end of the day, I don't really care if the Lions are first seed or last seed. At the end of the season, I care about if they won the Super Bowl or not. But that's just how I look at it. I'm kind of all or nothing guy.
No, have we met? I mean, I'm right there with you. I just think the recipe to making it happen is you need home games.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the ultimate Goff defender, but there's no scenario I see Goff in Green Bay or in Philly or in Seattle winning an NFC Championship game. I just don't see it. Hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Just like I was with Penn State, because James Franklin, they missed a 34 and a 40-yarder, and then James Franklin decided with the ability to go up 10, passing on a field goal, let's go for 4th and 4. Huh?
Because James Franklin can't coach, and James Franklin doesn't like you. I don't think he likes himself.
Well, truth. And, that didn't work out for me Saturday night. Let's go to Dorian, 97.1. Dorian, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, Mike? What's going on, man?
How are you?
Hey.
I'm doing well. It's been a minute. Last time I talked about called you guys, it was about this team. I am predicting that they're going to go 9-8 this season. Because of the injuries, the fact that they have a bullseye on their back. And I was just very interested as I'm taking this call and looking at Pete Carroll's head coaching record against the Lions. He's 10-8. So history is not on our side. Pete Carroll, it's all about matchups. No one really
Carroll's
truly...
Pete, good thing he's not there, though.
Pete Carroll ain't coaching tonight. He's in the old folks' home chewing gum. McDonald is.
Mike McDonald. But that's even worse because I think his record against us is even better than Pete Carroll's. So,
it's hard to do. It's his first year, but all right.
Well, look at overall. Look what he did with Baltimore. Who kicks?
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying for factual, he wasn't a coach. Look, hey, I'm there with you. Is that I'm nervous? They seem to have our number, the same way Tampa Bay has Philadelphia's number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On paper, you should win this thing tonight, but the game isn't played on paper.
Yeah, you're not playing on paper, and then there's a matchup situation. You got injuries to your offensive line. I'm not fully entrusted in Terrion, Arnold, or Carl. I think those two, I can take Arnold over Davis. Davis is trash, and that's the reason why Tampa Bay got rid of him. You don't think so?
No, I do not, and neither do the numbers so far. I think Carlton Davis has been rock solid so far. If you don't like him because he gets hurt, well, the truth, he gets hurt every year. He just hasn't yet.
Right.
Arnold, I'm not mad at Terry and Arnold. He's got to learn. This ain't college. They're not going to let you put your hands on people in the NFL.
Right.
So he's got to learn.
And if you do, you got to learn how to – basically do it without the referee seeing it.
Yeah, your biggest problem, and we're seeing this in the NFL more than ever, your one injury, one ankle turn in the secondary, especially with Rakestraw being down and with Melifonwu being down and Branch being down, if anything, for any extended period of time happens where it's Carlton Davis, Amik Robertson, or Terry Arnold, well, that's where alarm bells go off. Your depth has been compromised, and you're seeing it all over the league, man. Yeah. These dude, corners are dropping like flies.
They are, which is funny because with the receivers making so much money, you would think that corners would be getting paid as well because you need somebody to cover them. But
No. It had nothing to do with getting paid. It's just the physicality of this
right.
game.
Right. No. I get you, but it's just like, man, they are. When you have one, that's a valuable commodity.
All right, let's rock and roll. Hit the button. Give me some music. Let's do about 8 minutes of good football here, David.
Yeah, we had a lot happen in the NFL. You kind of brought it up already, so let's talk about it. Tampa Bay just has the Eagles' number. They beat them for the second time this calendar year. Baker Mayfield had two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, in less than 16 minutes into the game. The defense flustered the Eagles all day. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, it helps when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith don't play. Look, it doesn't fix the Eagles' issues. They've not gotten that defense right. It's been bad for 2 years. There's something wrong with Nick Sirianni and the relationship with that team, and I don't see it. And frankly, we're getting further and further and further away from Jalen Hurts' magical season, and both coordinators took off. I don't buy the Eagles.
Mike, what I'm seeing with Jalen Hurts is a guy who now feels like he has to put the entire city of Philadelphia on his back. He's scrambling around. I mean, you saw just the fumble. Like, back in the Jalen Hurts from a couple of years ago would either take off, throw the ball away, or take the sack. Now he feels like every play I'm missing pieces. I have to be Superman. I have to do something special. And that's not working out.
Let's talk about the Vikings and Sam Darnold. I want to put them together here because I think the team can be considered Super Bowl contenders 4 weeks in, as well as MVP candidate Sam Darnold, because here are the teams they have beaten. The Niners, the Texans, and the Packers, who are also considered Super Bowl contenders. So let's talk about the Vikings here. Huge surprise here after week four.
Only thing, David, about this is I think that the Vikings are that early season team that jumps out that eventually comes back down to the pack. I think teams will figure out. Now, the Vikings' defense has been phenomenal, but I do think teams will figure out, Darnold, how to stymie them, how to not let them go down and score as much. But, yeah, right now at the quarter turn, they're the best team in the NFC, and Darnold would probably win the MVP, but they're still 13 more games to go. I think they will come back down to the pack.
I don't, but I'm not going to argue about it. There's just nothing I'm seeing that says they're coming back to the pack. They're balanced. The Aaron Jones thing has worked, which I can't believe. Their O-line, metrically, very good. And defensively, Brian Flores is on a revenge tour. They kill everybody. Rico, they're assassinating quarterbacks. Look, maybe I'm stupid. This is a team that almost made the playoffs with Nick Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I just am a dumb human.
Or, you know what, I think Flores has figured out the Shanahan package. Because you look at the teams that they've beaten, all learned the offense under that Shanahan of move. He knows, he's the kryptonite to that. So if he plays one of those teams in the playoffs, yeah, advantage Minnesota Vikings defense. Let's see what they do outside of teams that run that same type of offense that the 49ers run.
Well, let's get to some bad here because you got Gerard Mayo and the Patriots, who were blasted by the Jets in week three. The Jets can't even beat the Broncos the following week. The 49ers led 20-0 in the second quarter, and there has to be a decision made soon, I would imagine, on Jacoby Brissett and Drake May. It looks real bad. We know what the Panthers are, but it looks horrendous.
Hold on. What's the decision? Put the rookie in there, incur 48 sacks in 10 games? I mean, look, David, you signed Jacoby Brissett to be a meat sheet.
Right, to be a punching bag. He knew that when he signed the deal. Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. And now it's like, because David, if not, you're going to, if Drake May is your future, you can't destroy the young man's confidence. You don't want what happened to David Carr to happen to him.
Let's talk about the Browns defense for a quick second because everyone talks about how bad Deshaun Watson is, how bad the offense looks. They are 1-3. But they played the Raiders yesterday, and the Raiders were the worst rushing team in the NFL through 3 weeks. And against the Browns, they ran for 152 yards and beat the Cleveland Browns. What is going on with that team overall?
I mean, you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I'm done with them. I mean, for one, Deshaun Watson's a loser and probably a terrible human. Their offensive line's in tatters. Nick Chubb's leg is still on backwards. And defensively, they were supposed to carry the day. They don't look like the same defense that led the league in just about everything last year. They've been gettable from Jump Street. Hello, Dallas game.
Yeah.
I got nothing. It feels like that thing is going off of a cliff. They do nothing well, David. Nothing.
Yeah, I think the defense, they kind of felt like, you know what, we'll just roll out there and do exactly what we did last season. It's going to work, not realizing every team makes improvements, every team gets better. And the fact that they know if we don't – the extra pressure, if we don't shut these teams down, we're never going to win. David, I think it's just the perfect storm that it's all falling apart in Cleveland.
Yeah, just like my Sunday fell apart, Anthony Richardson goes down, and I thought, wow, there may be hope in this game yet. And Joe Flacco came in and just went 16 for 26, 168 yards, and two touchdowns. Joe Flacco's back, man. He did it again.
You ready here? Rico's going to take my head off. Joe Flacco's better than Anthony Richardson. Changed my mind.
I would say this, Mike. Anthony Richardson. No, Anthony Richardson's problem is he can't stay healthy. Other than that, he can play, but I know availability is the best ability.
So is reading. He can't read a defense. He is Dexter Manley with books.
I think it's just a lot more of just inexperience.
Okay.
Because every time it looks like he's about to start playing, and he gets injured.
How about this? Happy medium. Forget the why and just focus on the what. Right here, right now, Joe Flacco gives the Colts a better chance to win today than Anthony Richardson.
Yes, they do. Yes, he does.
That's the only place I was arriving at.
Yeah.
And, David, I'm so sorry. My heart breaks for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's close it out with this because there's trouble.
Time out. I have one, and then we'll close it
out. Sure.
Is anyone going to comment on Russell Wilson's absolute psychotic behavior? You're not active, and you're still dressing up in shoulder pads like it's Halloween. What the hell is this guy's problem?
Because he does not want the Steelers to forget he's on the team. I think everybody knows that he won't be the quarterback except for him. In his world, so long as I keep showing up, I'm going to say, hey, I'm on the team. I'm going to play. I'm ready to go. Hey, coach, don't forget about me. Yeah, Russ, we forgot about you a long time ago. That's why.
No, he's a loser. That's what it is, because I understand and I get it. He's the emergency quarterback. But until the first quarterback goes down, you don't need your pads on, you dummy.
Right. Put a sweatshirt on, you weirdo.
He's a team player. He's a veteran. He doesn't want to just hold a clipboard.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to put on the uniform.
He's a horse's ass. David, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll close it out with the 0-4 Jags because there may be a firing coming soon, I would imagine, because they don't even look like a football team right now. Everything is going wrong for Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jags.
It's starting to feel a little bit Urban Meyer-esque, huh? The only thing we're missing is Doug playing proctologist on a dance floor. The whole thing's a mess.
Maybe it wasn't all Urban's fault.
I don't know. I just, David, it don't feel right. I'd be lying to you if I said it did. Maybe it's time. Maybe Doug just had a magical run in Philly with a couple elite coordinators. Tell me if you've heard this before. We just talked about Nick Sirianni with it. I don't know, man. It feels like, yeah, it may be time.
It may be time for a clean sweep because I'm starting to question their quarterback play as well. I mean, I don't think that he's the end-all, be-all anymore. And, David, maybe they just tank and just start all over. And see if somebody will take Lawrence off of their hands.
Oh, my God. You can't do that. They just named the stadium after.
They just paid him.
And they just called it Trevor Bank Stadium. Come on now.
Okay.
No, make no mistake. It's going to be an arranged marriage. Whoever takes that job, you can't like Trevor Lawrence. You have to love him.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, in other words, get a guaranteed contract because you will be fired.
Listen, it's the same thing Dave Canales did in Carolina.
Yeah,
I'm going to work for David Tepper. Man, how much am I guarantee? All right, cool. Fire me.
Matter of fact, put it all in the bank right now, and I'll work for free for the next couple of years.
Fire me in 18 months. Right. I don't care. You still be paying me for 5 years.
And that is In Football Today.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.